Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
There are many seasons of being a parent. The season begins when the baby arrives and you become a parent. The baby stage. At the early stage of parenting, your baby is fully reliant on you for everything. For food, nappies, nappy changes. My wife likes nappy changes, me not so much. Clothing, warmth, protection, nurturing, comfort, absolutely everything is dependent on the parent giving it to the child. Babies are utterly helpless, but completely cute. This is by far and away my wife's most favorite stage of having children. She will volunteer at the drop of a hat to hold anyone's baby for any length of time, so watch out for your kids. Next stage we have is the toddler. The legs start going, everything in the house gets moved up by around 3 feet for safety as they become mobile. They're into everything, exploring, and can move around the house like a ninja if they're not caged in safely somewhere. We hold their hands, we lead them to help them become more independent. Toilet training. Toilet training. They start to walk and we put our arms out and say, come on, you can do it, you've got this. And we either have their favorite parent, mum or dad, usually dad, or we give them their favorite sweets and they try and come and get it. And those first couple of steps and everybody cheers and are so happy because they've achieved their next goal and their development. They begin to feed themselves and that's quite a messy experience usually. It ends up all over them, but eventually they crack it. They don't want to waste any food. It all gets eaten and thrown around the kitchen and the lounge and the dining room. Words start to be formed and much to the annoyance of mum, often the first word is dad. Professionals tell me it's because apparently the word dad is easier to form phonically. Personally, I think it's just because dads are cooler and they can't wait to say our name. Once the toddler's growing up a little bit, they enter the primary stage. The first day of school. The tears, it's just the mum's. They're immaculate on entering that first day to school. The uniform has been tried on 100 times. The first school photo, the build-up, the tension, the you better behave, but have a good time. To see them released from their first day of school, absolutely disheveled. At the primary stage, the bike stabilizers are removed, and if you live in Peterhead, the rite of passage is to take your child to Carrow Park so you can remove the stabilizers, they can learn to ride. I don't know if you've ever been to Carrow Park. It's slightly baffling for me because the running track is quite sharp rubber, and it's really not designed for falling against. It's designed for grip. But hey, it's a rite of passage. The question season at this time begins. The why, but why? How? Where do babies come from? All the questions as these little primary school age children start to learn about their whole world around about them. Has anyone had any absolute belter of questions coming from their children recently? Make sure you put them in the chat. They're learning vast amounts of knowledge at this time. Kids are like sponge absorbing all sorts of things. At this stage, we develop our core beliefs about life. Many times over, surveys have been done that show that it's such an important time in our children's development. This is why Apex Church invests so much into this age group through Apex Kids and Mega Kids Outreach and the schools program, as essentially the surveys have shown us and proven to us that essentially what you believe at this stage is what you die believing. as they move out of the primary school and they move into the secondary stage, the secondary part of their learning experience. Ah, teenagers. Teenagers. The hormones, the growth spurt, the spots, the mood swings, the different tone of the question, Dad, who? The questions turn into sighs and grunts. The energy turns into phenomenal lengths of sleep. The very question of why is in a whole different concept.
Why?
But why? Why not? So unfair. Life becomes very unfair when you're a teenager. They are finding themselves as teenagers. They're becoming adults. They're testing boundaries and parents' sanity. As parents, we become more like firefighters and professional taxi drivers at this point, choosing in which battles we're going to engage in today. I quite like the season my children are at the moment. Even though Matthew is a full-blown adult and no longer a child, we get to do man things like clean the car, and we connect at this level, although he does try to educate me on how to cut my own grass at my own house because I don't do it well enough. This is not Jennifer's favorite season, however. There's a lot of eye-rolling. If your wife doesn't eye-roll at you, let me assure you, she's doing it on the inside. The statement of, that is just you, the way they are behaving, in relation to my boys, as they have picked up on so many of my traits, good and bad, because they are close to me and they've spent so much time with me. The question I have is, can I get close enough to my Heavenly Father that his very essence rubs off on me and I become more like him? There's a song on Elevation and Maverick City's new worship album called, the album's called Old Church Basement. And on that, there's a song called Talking to Jesus. I love this song. I have it playing over and over again. It's a narrative song that talks about a grandma praying out loud so that the kids hear and show what prayer looks like, encouraging the family to do the same. A mum dragging a teenager to church, saying, son, one day you'll thank me for having God in your life. The very child having his own kids and having the same responsibility to raise them upright. The teenager catching the father in prayer, excusing themselves out of the room. The father says, it's not an interruption. You couldn't have picked a better time because I was just talking to Jesus. Come over and give it a try. What a privilege to be able to model walking with Jesus, making the norm talking about Jesus wrapped around the very rhythm of family life. Sometimes family seasons are not perfect or easy, but seasons come and seasons go. There is no holding on to any season. God put the very seasons in place when he created the world. People enjoy all different types of season. Some like the colors of autumn. Some the winter frost. I love the brand new leaves in spring. The trees open up and the leaves are completely unblemished and the best color they will be all season. No matter what your favorite season is, because of the way God spoke the world into being, he's designed the seasons so that they don't stay. It will change. Your favorite seasons pass, but also if you're not in a good season, if you're not in your favorite place, it will also pass. Let me repeat that. This season shall pass. Maybe you need to hear that again. This season shall pass. How do I know? God designed it that way. And as he designs the sun to come up every day, and it still does, he said it once, that I know the season will change. In Mark chapter 4, reading from verse 1, it says this. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and he sat it out in the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering his seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came up and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, and some 100 times. A very well-known and taught parable about a season. Mostly you plant in spring, some in the autumn. The seeds that the farmer scattered, some hit the path, and the birds quickly ate it up. I don't blame them. Easy pickings. If you've ever planted grass seed, it's a fight with the birds. You have to make it hard for them and dissuade them from taking all the seed off the top of the soil. Some hit the rocky, poor soil. The seed gets going, but because it can't get good nutrients out of the ground, it can't survive. We need good roots to survive. You know, a tree, if you plant it in the ground, doesn't seem to do much at all for the first while, months, years. In fact, for the first 2 years, you will hardly see a tree that you've put in the ground do anything. Well, not that it isn't doing anything, because the tree is putting down roots. You see, the tree can only grow as tall and as high as its roots can stabilize. You won't find a tall, tall tree with very shallow roots. The greatest tall trees have the largest, widest roots in the ground to keep them stable as they grow up high. For us to grow really big in God, we have to deeply put our roots down in his word. Palm trees on the islands in the Caribbean, you'll notice, often look like they're growing sideways. You see, a palm tree, if you're ever near it, they're not very firm trunks. They're actually quite flexible. So that when the hurricanes and the storms come, they bend and sway in the storm. Because if they didn't bend and sway, there's only one thing that would happen, and that would be they would snap. They don't break in the storms. You know, if we can't be a little flexible in the season, we too will break. The season is going to happen. The season is going to change, and we will come out. How we respond in the season determines whether we bend or whether the storm breaks us instead. There was a farmer on the west coast of Scotland where the weather is often spectacular in the autumn and the winter. And he was getting on, and he really needed a farmhand, but he could never find anyone to stay. So he kept advertising, people came in and people left. But this one farmhand applied for the job, and he was well above middle age, but the farmer was just delighted to have help. And upon asking the question, are you any good at what you do? The farmhand replied, well, I sleep when the wind blows. Well, farmer, a little confused by his response, was just delighted to have help. And over the next while, he was absolutely fantastic on the farm. He was a very experienced farmhand, and what an asset to have on the farm. But the seasons changed. The weather grew bad, and one night there was an almighty storm that hit land. And you know what? The farmer jumped out of his bed and he ran to the quarters of the farmhand and he shouted him out of bed and he said, get up! There's a storm! Without even rolling over, the farmhand said, I sleep when the wind blows. Incredulous. The farmer was livid. He didn't have time to argue. He ran out to the farm to secure everything. As he ran outside, he noticed that all of the hay had been covered with tarpaulins. The cows were in the barn. The chickens were in the coop. The barn was shut up and barred, and the shutters were closed. Everything was tied down. Nothing could blow away. The farmer suddenly realized what the farmhand meant when he said he could sleep during a storm and when the wind blew. He was prepared. He too went to his bed and slept while the wind blew. You know, when you are prepared, you have nothing to fear. It's all about your grounding. How deep do your roots run? You know, another seed falls amongst thorns. The weeds stop the growth. What needs to be cut away to release you into God's promises? You know, as a company, we often get called in when the weeds have gotten out of control at a property. And we're called in like the cavalry, and we're to fight all these weeds that are growing everywhere and clear them out for a customer. But if the customer, however, had just weeded a little and often, it's easy to keep clear and see the growth from the plants that we want to grow. If you let weeds grow in your life, it takes far more effort and a long time to clear. But if you deal with little things, as soon as they appear, it makes grow what should be growing. It's the same with our lives. We spend time with God, and we mean we don't have to wait till everything is all tangled up in a mess before we then go, oh God, please help in this situation, because he's there to help us all along. The final seeds in this parable are on good ground, where they should be. We flourish best when we are planted where God wants us to be in his purpose. You know, no matter what the season is in our family life, good, bad, middling, the season we are in won't stay. How we prepare for change is our responsibility. Here is the most important thing about this parable that I've discovered. We will never gather in the harvest unless we sow the seed. If you're not liking what you're harvesting, change what you're sowing. Sow love, kindness, joy, generosity, and guess what you will reap? In verse 26 of the same chapter of Mark, it says, he also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seeds sprout and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel on the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. God does the work in us, through us, and into the world. We just need to sow. When you pray out loud in front of your children and your family, when they catch you in your Bible, when you have your worship music blasting, when you are talking to Jesus, guess what? You are sowing the very seed that God will make grow in your children's lives. God is in the growing and the fruit producing business. When you pray for people, you are sowing for a harvest in your own life. That's how the kingdom of God works. When you demonstrate the ways of God in your own life, you are planting seeds all over your family. God is in the growing business. The blessings that have happened in my life have come from the very prayers and investment of other people. The seeds they planted, that other people watered, and you know what? God gave the harvest. When you are that person at your workplace, and you are sowing all over your work, God will make those seeds come to harvest. It's written in his word. I can't encourage you enough. After this service video, go and have a look on YouTube. Have a look at Elevation and Maverick City's new album, Old Church Basement, and look up the song, Talking to Jesus. It's so, so good. It will encourage you today. I'm going to pray. Father God, I pray right now for everyone who can hear the sound of my voice. All those in different seasons right now, those in a good season, help them to put down roots and prepare for that season that will change. So they are strong and they can sleep during the storm, as they know you are in control. They have their faith and trust in you, so fear and peace will consume them. Those in a hard season right now, I pray that you will meet them exactly where they are and wrap your arms around them. Comfort and assure as only you can that the season will change and this is not the destination that they will stay in. They will get through this, and there is a harvest coming. This is just temporary. Remind them to keep on planting. As you said, the more seeds we sow, the greater the harvest. And Lord, those who maybe haven't met you yet, maybe they've not experienced you or asked you to become part of their life, Lord, I pray that you will reveal yourself to them today, and they can pray this prayer to acknowledge you as their Lord and Savior. The Bible says that if we acknowledge you as our Lord and Savior and we confess with our mouth that you are Lord and we ask that you forgive our sins, the wrong things we have done, you are faithful to come in our lives and be with us, to save us from all our wrongdoings. Lord, I pray right now that people out there will hear this and they will respond. Lord, I just thank you for being our Father in heaven, and we can celebrate you this morning. And for everything you've done, amen. Well, I hope you've had a fantastic Father's Day. I hope you continue to have a fantastic time. I know it's a difficult time for some, but let's all consider our Father in heaven, this wonderful kingdom he's allowed us to build in, that we can just keep sowing forward so that one day the harvest will come in someone else's life and our lives, and the harvest will be so great, and we can all share in this together.